I'm sorry, are you sure this is the podcast you were looking for? Really? Okay then. Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast. Every week, our sad little team discusses gaming in various forms, make stupid wisecracks, and generally embarrass themselves quite well with their so-called expert opinions. Remember, you did this to yourself.
Hey there everybody, welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And today, you had an interesting recurring topic you wanted to bring up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you had in mind?
Well, I was thinking that, you know, we've got all of these role-playing games, especially, you know, the early role-playing games that most people either don't know about or don't know a whole lot about. So I figured we could, you know, go through and give them the highlights, the background, you know, the synopsis of the game itself. What makes it interesting? What, you know, kind of fell flat on their, you know, on how they did it. And just, you know, basically the anatomy of the game.
Huh. So that's an interesting thought. What game did you want to specifically talk about today?
Well, it's one we've talked about on many occasions. It's Kevin Ciambiera's his game Rifts. It's based off of the Palladium role-playing system, which we've already said sucks in countless ways.
Oh, yeah.
But as a setting, it's probably one of the best settings out there. So I figured, you know, we needed to dive in and go over it.
Cool. So why don't you give us a backstory on Rifts?
Well, basically what happened, this is post-apocalyptic. And what happened is there was a nuclear holocaust. And in the ensuing holocaust, a billion lives were lost. Well, that much death in such a short span, the release of all that psychic energy from all those deaths reignited the ley lines around the world. And that caused a ripple effect throughout the world. Basically, with all that sudden influx of energy, the next thing that happened was the oceans swelled up and swallowed entire islands. You know, the East Coast vanished underwater, and the continent of Atlantis rose from the grave, basically. It came back to the surface, which caused even more water to spread across the lands. And that caused even more death, and it was just this vicious cycle. Well, those ley lines started, the effect of the ley lines igniting started tearing holes in the fabric of time and space, and rifts started appearing, and dimensional creatures started wandering into our world. And that's where the game takes off from. There's several different factions. The most notorious, if you think of it in Star Wars terms, the coalition is basically Darth Vader and co. You know, black outfits, everything has this skull motif. I mean, they went, you know, Nazis with, you know, skull fetishes. They went way beyond what would be socially acceptable. And then there's, you know, I guess you'd call them the good guys, the Northern Gun Alliance. And New German Republic is kind of good guys. They're a little bit of an unknown factor. The same with the Canadians. What was the Canadian name? I'm trying to remember now. The state of Free Quebec. That was it.
Yes.
They're listed as a coalition state, but they're kind of coalition, but not. They're more of a free thinking alliance.
They're the coalition state that has the rest of the coalition going, why haven't we nuked them yet?
But, you know, the main coalition headquarters, the biggest coalition city is Chicago. Chi-town. And it's called Chi-town in this game. And it is just this massive city. Just it, if you're a fan of Judge Dredd or the Judge Dredd's, you know, setting, Chi-town is basically Mega City 1. It's this massive, huge, just you can't explain how big this walled city is. And it's got very similar ideologies. You know, there's those the judge, jury, and executioner types wandering through looking for dissidents. You know, magic is, if you use magic in Chi-Town, they're going to hunt you down and they're going to make an example of you. Psychics, you either work for Chi-Town or they hunt you. That sort of thing.
Right. And if you're a dimensional being, nah, you're going to find yourself dragged into the nearest court square and hung.
No, they're still dimensional beings there. They're just registered and they keep a very close eye on them. If you show any signs of being dangerous, then they execute you. Otherwise, you're just free labor because most DBs become slaves.
It's also kind of has a feel a little bit, not like the computer's in control, but kind of paranoia-like because Chi-Town is an arcology.
Mm-hmm.
It's this big, you know, not domed, but it's all-encompassed city to defend against attacks from enemies, which really is kind of a misnomer when it's usually the coalition forces that are out stomping on everyone else.
Well, and from the level of technology that the that's available, because basically when the Holocaust hit, the technological level of the planet dropped because pre-Holocaust artifacts, pre-Rift artifacts, are the big thing.
Yes.
There's a suit of armor called the Glitter Boy suit that in the first book is the biggest, baddest SOB on the block. It is match for anything the coalition could come up with and then some. Just one of those could take on an entire squad of coalition troops without a problem.
Yeah.
And so this has got kind of
a robot power put into a power armor.
Yeah. Whereas they've got like 30 foot tall robots that can't even come close to matching this thing.
Yeah.
And that big ass cannon it has. So everybody, it's kind of like a Cold War going on. Everybody's trying to dig up pre-Rift artifacts so they can have a leg up on everybody else. And so as a player, you have quite a selection of classes and races you could be. I mean, you can play any one of the coalition troops. I mean, you could be a robot. You could be just a dead boy grunt. You could be a Samus pilot. You know, there's the military specialists, and then there's the non-coalition types. You know, there's like the Cyber Knight, which is kind of like a cyborg paladin. There's the crazies, which they've got their own abilities, but they're hard to describe because they're just plain crazy. They're a wild card, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you know, there's those rare few glitter boys roaming around. Juicers, you know, nowadays juicers would not, as a class, would not go over very well because they are basically junkies in power in suits that their powers are sustained from the drugs that they're taking. So they're getting pumped up with amphetamines of sorts to heighten their reflexes and make them move faster and make them shoot faster. And then they've got other drugs to control all these different features. So they're stronger, faster, better in every way, shape, or form. And yeah, that makes them amazing soldiers, but their life expectancy is only about 5 years.
Yeah, at best.
So, I mean, not only do they have pretty thin armor, they don't live very long. So if you're looking to play something that, you know, goes in big and burns out quick, that's for you.
Yep. I used to play a juicer, and they are the epitome of YOLO.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see, what was it, a lime green a leisure suit that you wore over your armor?
I had a variety of lime green leisure suits I'd wear over my armor, and I'd get upset when I actually got shot because I'd have to go replace it.
But yeah, the ones that I just listed, those are the men-at-arms. Those are the soldier type characters. Then they've got, you know, your scholars and adventurers, which are, you only play those if you're really into role playing because they're pretty pathetic.
Yeah,
they can't do a whole lot, but boy, they sure know a lot and they can do a lot. Then there's your practitioners of magic. Magic as a whole doesn't do a huge amount of damage, but it's effective in so many other ways because magic can pass through most armors. and affect the pilot inside the armor.
Right.
That's what's got the coalition so scared of the practitioners of magic. They are really trying to get rid of all practitioners of magic. They want them all gone. And then there's the racial character classes, in which case you can play a dragon. And yes, we had a friend who played a dragon, and he ended up he captured a Samus pilot, ripped the top off, burned the pilot alive inside the armor, scooped out the goo, and welded the head back on and used it as a drinking mug. And of course, there's the psychic classes, yeah. And there's others, but those came in later expansions. That was one of the downsides to Rifts, is because the first book was fine. It didn't need a whole lot more, but they got greedy and they started cranking out every few months there was a new source book, a new source book, a new source book, just kept coming up with things. And by the time I gave up on it, they had pistols that were stronger than that Glitter Boy cannon.
Yeah, and that's
the one that had, well, when the cannon went off, the pilot literally had two little pylons shot out of the legs to brace it in place. A big jetpack on the back fired at the time of the gun going off to counteract the boom from that cannon.
Massive recoil.
And it had, when it went off, in the 300-foot area, windows would shatter. Anybody who didn't have hearing protection in that space was permanently deafened.
It's a railgun.
It went boom, and everything around you was affected. But by the time I gave up on them, they had pistols that were just as powerful, if not more powerful.
Yeah. But see, that's part of the problem, is the, like you said, the power creep. But that was already in the game to start with, because there was such a split between, you'd have like Glitter Boys and Dog Boys and all these different classes that had access to really good armor and MDC weapons, which are mega damage capacity weapons. And
yeah.
Then you had scholars and adventurers who really didn't. They didn't have MDC armor, so even 1 point, if you got an extremely low roll on a basic tiny little pistol, this tiny little laser gun, you shoot somebody that's not in MDC armor, and they're evaporated like they were shot with a disruptor in Star Trek. And
well, actually, you're
the system was
wrong,
so fucked up.
Everybody starts out with a suit of MDC armor, and the Dog Boys didn't have any better armor than the body fixer.
No,
the cyber doc.
They had access, though. What I'm saying to
because they were
coalition gear.
They were given the opportunity, but they started out with standard gear.
Right.
The only reason my Dog Boy was so dangerous is because he specialized in mechanics. He could take things apart. So he would jetpack onto one of those huge robots and land on their backpack where they couldn't reach him, because, you know, their arms wouldn't right. move that way, so they could hit him, and he would disable their power supply. So now you got a 30-foot tall statue with people trapped inside.
Right. But here's the thing.
Or plant bombs on it and watch the thing blow up.
The point, though, is that a scholar had nothing.
No.
To that effect. Yeah, sure, they had knowledge, but with the system that was in Rifts, the system really doesn't work to really help you. There's no point to knowledge skills. It was so heavily focused towards combat, that uh-huh. unless you were a really good role player, which would be the only reason to play that class, there was no, you'd just be sitting there twiddling your thumbs while everybody's fighting around you, because you're screwed.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sure, you might shoot some stuff, but here's the thing. Most of the areas were SDC. They were standard damage capacity.
SDC, standard damage capacity.
They're coming at you and going bang, bang, bang with their revolvers, and it's just bouncing off of you. You have nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they had a tank, which a tank could do one MDC.
Right.
In which case, it's going to go pank and bounce. It's not going to damage you. Your armor is going to be fine. You get knocked down, but you're not going to be harmed.
So right. You didn't have to worry about it.
Physics made no sense whatsoever. None at all.
And that's why I said at the beginning, it's a great setting with a terrible system.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Because you don't have, I mean, I understand having classes that aren't, you know, combat competent. They are, you know, your knowledge players. If you're playing a strong role play type game, they're great. They're interesting, but they're squishy. And those big 30-foot tall coalition robots, those are major threats.
But, you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, here's one thing, though. Like you had said originally, the pre-Rift technology, which the game was set a couple hundred years after the nuclear holocaust, which, by the way, one thing you didn't mention was the dust cloud around the planet.
Well,
that prevented all the satellites were fighting each other and ended up getting destroyed by these tiny particles moving through the upper atmosphere, which would shred anything.
Right.
So there's no...
I hadn't got there yet.
No satellites, nothing. So it really impedes communications. And so you're stuck with the knowledge you have on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So if, say, a group wants to go investigate into the south, which that's great. Going, the scholar might be able to help you navigate and find your way to these ruins and whatnot, and to try and avoid the dinosaurs, because the southern United States is covered in dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
You might even be able to identify, that's this dinosaur that's chewing on your armor. Okay, it can't do anything to you because it's an SDC structure, but it's chewing on your arm. Isn't that quaint? That's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Oh, you just punched its head off. Wow. Let's move on. So, you know, there's a use for them. But again, you'd have to find the best role-playing group to make that work.
And that's just it. They could have, if the system had been better, it could have supported the classes that were vital for the goal of the game, which was to find, you know, pre-Rift artifacts or to explore the changed world. You know, a scholar might be able to warn that big, you know, power crazy group not to go too far south because you're going to run into vampires and the vampires are going to kick your ass.
I seem to recall us going into the vampire areas and not really having that much of a problem.
Well, maybe it wasn't a problem for you, but, you know, my squishy little dog boy, he had to carry around a lot of plasma grenades to keep him at bay.
Yeah.
Because fire was one of the few things that actually could hurt him.
Right. It seemed like the biggest problem that vampires could throw at you was trying to psychically control characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had a way of stopping that, like being inside your robot, yeah, you're okay. Characters in power armor, regular armor, that sort of thing. Less, you know, they're a little more susceptible. But still, vampires were really strong and could do lots of damage. And they were MDC structures. So, yeah, that's a problem. But they mostly threw flunkies at you anyway. Which,
true.
They light up real good with a plasma grenade.
Well, when you've got, you know, clusters like 10 to 20 of them and you drop a grenade in the middle of them and they all get vaporized in the flame.
Yeah.
That was helpful. But it had stupid things that I didn't really think were necessary, you know, like experience levels.
Yeah, because they based it off the old system, which was basically a modification of the original first edition D&D.
Uh-huh. And they had alignment, which, again, didn't really make sense.
Yeah, it wasn't super needed.
It was just, you know, a kind of way to, I guess, rein people in from being, you know, sociopaths.
Right.
But they had a good amount of skills that you could learn. And, you know, it's just... But then again, whether you knew the skills or not, most of the time they didn't really come in handy. You know, I know how to fish. I know how to, you know, blow a building open and take all the loot inside. I've got plenty of food now, and you have a fish. Good for you.
Yeah, you're going to cook that over a what? Oh, you don't know how to start a fire.
But like I said, some of the skills were useful.
Yeah.
You know, knowing the mechanical and electrical skills allowed you to do all kinds of cool things.
Sure.
But, some of it, I guess first aid was okay, but generally, if you took a wound that caused you, you know, enough to the point where you needed first aid, you're dead.
Yeah.
Because almost everything that was in there did mega damage.
Right.
So there was no need for first aid because you either survived or you vaporized.
And that's why it's the system made no sense in that whole divide between SDC and MDC. Because you could have something that had a big building, a fortress around a military base. And you shoot it and you're blowing holes through the armor because it's got thousands of SDC hit points, which amount to an MDC being 1,000 SDC, your little pistol that does 1-6 MDC is always going to blow holes in that wall.
Mm-hmm.
But if they had just had no SDC, no MDC, just had guns that could do more, armor that maybe it was no better than the armor that a regular character had, but it had, like with the Glitter Boys, it took less damage from certain types of weapons. Glitter Boys, being that they were reflective, took less beam weapon damage, you know, lasers and whatnot. They would take less damage from that. But particle weapons, bullets and the radial guns and so forth, they took full damage.
Right.
Why couldn't they have just had that on other weapons?
Well, and then that might have made it more, you know, made some of these other skills or abilities useful, like boxing.
Right.
Boxing and martial arts and running and wrestling, horsemanship, you know, being able to pilot cars and planes and boats.
Exactly. They would have meant going and getting the older stuff, the older cars and whatnot, still had a use instead of just doing something. You have all these dinosaurs that come in and appear from time rifts in the south, southern United States, mostly a southeastern United States. They're not just, you know, slaughter things in your way. They're actually threats. That's one of the things I was like, wow, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Great setting, horribly handled.
Mm-hmm.
All because they took their other system from, literally, they took the system from Beyond the Supernatural and just plastered it right on top of Rifts and said, ooh, new setting in the future. It's essentially the future of Beyond the Supernatural.
Yeah.
No bueno. Some would say Heroes Unlimited thrown in there as well.
Well, and in the introduction to the book, they were talking about how the game came about, and Heroes Unlimited was one of the factors that he listed as, you know, when he designed Heroes Unlimited, it led to this. He mixed it with ninjas and super spies. You know, he got some ideas from that and put the two of them together and came up with this.
Yeah. But the whole way that the rifts occurred came straight out of Beyond the Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
But the point, though, being is if you've got Heroes Unlimited, which is a superhero game, why in the base game are there no superheroes?
Well, kind of are the crazies. They have superpowers.
Yeah, but that's through
that are triggered by
in their head.
Emotional states.
Right. But they're cybernetic.
Yeah.
So it's not like I am, you know, a Superman type or a Batman type or whatever. They're cyborgs of a sort.
Right.
They've had mental tinkering, which makes them more powerful. Great. Good. Whatever. Where are my superheroes?
It has a lot going for it. It's just the system did not support it. It was too confused, too erratic, too broken.
Right.
You know, that's one of the reasons why in so many episodes when we were talking about riffs, it was like, well, you know, it would have been nice if they had done this with like the D20 system, or they had gone and done, you know, like the what was the one that Star Wars used, the six-sided system?
D6.
Yeah, the D6 platform.
Yeah.
Something. Anything.
Now, there is a version of Rifts that's done with the Savage World setting. The Savage World system, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm not familiar with the Savage World system. I've heard really good things about it.
Right.
So I really need to check that out. Also, apparently it's broken down into only 3 books, if I remember right. I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me. But, yeah, it's not the sprawling 30-book set that is Rifts.
Well, and again, they didn't need to do that. You know, Spirit West, yes, I understand that you're bringing in, you know, the Native Americans and their culture and all of that, but it didn't need to be a whole book. You just basically said the same thing over and over and over again to fill up a book, and then you slapped a price tag on it, and out the door it went.
But that's part of Palladium Books' problem, is their pricing model, their model for Rifts was basically, they had gone from putting out games where there was one book, maybe a couple supplements to it, and that was about it, to a sprawling epic that had a core book, then source books, then world books, and it became, well, we have to one-up the last book with something more interesting, more powerful, so that people will keep buying, and they just kept putting... Hell, they revisited settings with additional books later on.
Well, and some of their quote-unquote good ideas didn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Well, yeah.
You know, they said that outer space was off-limits because you couldn't get through this... the debris field encompassing the planet, but yet all of a sudden these God, what were those things called, the space paladins?
Yeah, they put out a whole supplement on space,
but those things could withstand a cannon, you know, a big starship cannon at point blank range, and it wouldn't affect them. They were immune to it, but yet handheld MDC weapons could hurt them.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. I actually
liked... Oh, are you smoking?
I liked that book for one main reason, because it focused a lot on the pre-Rifts technology.
Yes.
Because they, think of it, they have these space stations, whatnot, they're out in space, and then this nuclear, you know, war occurs, and now they're cut off from their home world with all this awesome technology.
Yeah. They had multiple different versions of Glitter Boys.
Yeah, that was nifty, but here's the problem. They also had rifts on Mars and whatnot that they could get to. There were ways for them to get to Earth. May not have been easy, but they could go back and forth. So, if that's the case, how did the Coalition occur?
I don't remember.
In their little infancy days, they would have gotten trashed by these very, very, very powerful Glitter Boys, who would have said, not on our America. Hell no.
Again, it all goes down to, it's a really good setting. I like most of the things about this game. I just don't like the system. The system is absolute garbage. And yeah, I'm sure there are tons of fanboys, because this game was an orgasm waiting for power gamers.
Oh, God, yeah.
Those munchkins, this was their game, because, boy, they could just go to town. But for your standard role players, the ones who cared about content more than being able to destroy everything in sight, it just doesn't work. It's just trash.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, we're a little late. You have any final thoughts?
No, I just figured, since this is one that we've talked so much about, that we needed to go in depth more towards, you know, what is this game about? Why did we buy it in the first place? You know, did we enjoy it? Yes, we enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah. Why did
we had to do some major changes just to enjoy it. You know, we had to house rule the hell out of it.
Yeah. But is it worth buying now?
I don't think so. Maybe the Savage Worlds version?
Yeah.
I haven't tried that. I don't know what that's like.
I'm going to have to get my hands on it and check it out because, like I said, I've heard good things.
But, you know, maybe next time we'll go over a different game and it'll be, let's see, what would be a good one?
I would like
maybe to see over your, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's that where you play as gods or devils or angels or devils, I mean.
Oh, Innominy?
Innominy.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Not sure when we'll get to that, but...
Well, no, but it's a good... It's a game that you thought deserved more time than it got. Now, most people paid no attention to it. You thought it deserved more attention.
Yeah. I have yet to meet another role player. Now, I'm not saying my circle of friends is that vast, but I've never met anybody who knew about Innominy before I told them about it.
Well, now you get to tell everybody about it.
Yeah. Of course, I'm sure there's a bunch of Steve Jackson Games fans in the background going, oh, bullshit. But anyway. Till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Wow, you actually listened to the whole episode? I'm frankly shocked, and have lost a little bit of respect for you, to be honest. But since you are obviously a glutton for punishment, why don't you drop by our new website, scormy.com? It can't be a much bigger time waster than this podcast has been, can it? Actually, yes, it totally can, but check it out anyway.